God, set me free. Hallelujah. And even now I get overwhelmed. Does 5,113 days mean anything to you? 5,113 days will take you back to January the 21st, 2010. And for those who don't know what date it is today, it's the 21st of January. Today, I've been saved for 14 years. That is an amazing... Today is my birthday, you know? And I am so blessed to be able to share what God has done for me. And I know that he's done many things for you. But I'm going to share and I'm going to weave my story and my testimony of the power of God through a number of verses in Acts 3, verses, I think, 1 to 10. This passage of the Bible, I feel, is so much about me. I feel that people need my permission to preach it. You know, when you think that, you know, when we read through the word of God and you think like it's all for us, every single word, no word is wasted. But when you read certain passages, it's for you. Well, this passage that I'm going to minister through today is a passage that's dear to my heart. And I want you, if any of you here are struggling with any specific thing or you have family members who are struggling with any specific addiction or ailments, I want to remind you today that he is enough. Never give up. Never lose hope. The absence of hope makes the heart sick. And then we have another passage that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. If we have a sick heart, we have a sick speech. If we have a sick speech, we have a sick proclamation. Speak life over one another. I met Jesus 14 years ago today, and he set me free. Oh boy, I know me. I've lived with me for a long time, and I do find it easier living with the new me than the old me. I just want my wife to stand up. Can you just stand up, sweetheart, while I just show you off? This is my wonderful wife. I have to. My wife doesn't like me doing this, but I have to because we share a bed. And I don't want to sleep with one eye open tonight, you know? So there we go. We've got that out the way. Now I can minister. Now I feel safe. Guys, I am super blessed. Let me get into what I believe. Can I have that water? Thank you so much. I'm going to read from Acts 3. You ready? Now, listen. Typically, as an Englishman, you guys have seen the video, right? Typically, as an Englishman, we come and we minister around the US and the Americans. You beautiful people. You beautiful people typically may think that somewhere along this message that I'm mispronouncing my words. I want to remind everyone in the room, I'm English. You speak what I am. So, if presumption creeps in, you hold that thing captive. And just think for a moment, maybe the Englishman is speaking English. Come back in, guys. I come in peace. Oh, I was going to get all political in the minute I do this. Oh, there we are. Trump 24. Come on, baby. Let's do this. These boots are about as close to Texan boots I have. And then Pastor Kevin got up and these boots look like they've backslidden compared to his. They are Holy Ghost. These are like, on the fringes. But we're going to get there. Okay. Trump 24, baby. Come on, let's do this. I make no apologies. No, I don't make any apologies. Okay, right, here we go. I'm going to get into Acts 3, verses 1 to 10, and I want to share this. And remember, guys, when ministers come into town, it's very, it helps helps. I need the help from the helper, right? But it helps when the congregation pull things out of you. So if you say amen, I won't be offended. If you say come on, I won't be offended. I promise you, it will almost pull me along. Okay. So if there's anything, amen, Pastor Matt, there you go. Okay, Sid, I'm just going to pull this table over to you. I'm just going to minister here, okay, and all the rest can get to here, okay? But guys, I want to preach this. I will get to it in a moment. Acts 3, verses 1 to 10. Okay, there's going to be a couple of words. You guys think I have a funny accent, right? Charming. You do too. Okay. We're going to get to Acts 3, verses 1 to 10. I want to read this and I want you guys to repeat some of the words that I say, and I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to ask you to repeat the specific words, so don't worry, you're not going to miss out. Okay, one day, say one day. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. Say every day. Wonderful, thank you. To beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention. Say attention. Attention. Expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him. Say, helped him. Thank you. And he helped him up, and instantly, say instantly. Thank you. The man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Woohoo! That's right, Jennifer. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is a beautiful and a powerful passage because it tells us in the chapter before. So if you go to Acts 3 and we turn a page to Acts 2, if you're reading the Amplified, just keep going. Just keep turning like another 30 or 40 pages and you'll get to Acts 2. Okay? So in Acts 2, we know that they were filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit filled them in the room and they were empowered to go and do the works of ministry. They were empowered to deliver and to distribute and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. So Acts 2, filled with the presence of God. Acts 3, there's a man here who was born lame. Now in Acts 4, it tells us he was put there for 40 plus years. So I'm an evangelist, so I'm going to take that plus right up to 9. 49 years, let's just believe. 49 years, this man, well, we know it's between 40 and 50, so we're going to go to 49. That's what we do. We stretch things. Okay, so 49 years, hypothetically. He was carried to a gate called Beautiful, asking for silver and gold, and receiving the very thing he was asking for, yet his life not change. Sometimes I feel we come to church and we ask for things and we receive them. But because we don't activate them, we come back and we ask for the very thing we've already received. And it could be for 40 plus years we sit in the same place asking for the same thing and yet our life not change. When we receive, go and put it into practice. Get out there and distribute the kingdom of heaven everywhere we go. So can you imagine 40 plus years? Now, what I'm about to say is actually not necessarily in the Bible, but I don't think it's so far-fetched. I know the word says don't add or take away. But let me just take you on a little story. This man was born lame. Could it be possible that two other people carried him to the gate? Could it be possible? So let's just say it could be possible that there's now three people involved in this story. And this man, can I have a bottle with a lid on, please, honey? There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. This man would go and be picked up and taken to the temple gate called Beautiful. And he would ask for silver and gold. So could you imagine, it's Tuesday morning. Or Tuesday afternoon, should I say. Two men, they come and collect him. They go in the house, they pick him up. And the man comes out with his empty cup. And they put him outside the temple where all these generous Jewish people were worshipping God. And they were going into the synagogues. That culture, they would have been generous, especially outside the house of God. And this man picked a prime hotspot. And Tuesday afternoon, his cup is empty. Then his cup is full. They take him home. He empties out the cup. He's still lame. Wednesday, the same group of people come and collect him. They take him to the same gate in the same condition. He asks for the same thing and he gets it. And then they fill up his cup. He's still lame. They pick him up. They take him home. He empties out his cup. Thursday. I'm looking at the clock, so we're going to stop on Thursday, okay? Thursday. The same group of people pick up the same lame man who's asking for the same thing, and they go through the same routine. They take him to the temple gate, and this man asks for silver and gold, and he receives it. They take him back. The man is still lame. Still lame. Receiving what he's asking for, my friends. What are we asking for? If we have the mindset of a castle, what we ask for will impact us. But if we have the mindset of the kingdom, what we ask for will impact those around us. Favor of God that is in and upon your life, if it doesn't bless those around you, we're mismanaging it. You're blessed to be a, not blessed to be blessed. Blessed to be a blessing, a fluid word to now come out and let people know what God has done for you. Not by telling them, go and look what I have, by telling them and look what you can have. But this lame man, 40 plus years, silver and gold, receiving and not changing. I did say to you that I feel like this story is written about me. And I did mention that 5,113 days ago, I gave my life to Jesus. 5,114 days ago, I was suicidal, cocaine addict, alcoholic, self-harmer, living on and off the streets of the great city of Liverpool. My life was a mess. Before that, my life seemed quite in order. I was not saved, so I was ordered as a not as... My life was in order as much as someone who's hellbound can be. But I had a construction company, a small one. I was doing okay. I was living at home. I was earning approximately $15,000 a month, 22 years of age, 23 years of age. My life seemed okay in the worldly terms because I only had a measuring stick of the world system. So within the world, my life seemed okay. Then it spiraled out of control. A friend of mine asked me, would I like to try cocaine? I said, why not? So I tried it and it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It ruined my life instantly. People say to me, Andrew, how long did it take for you to become addicted? I don't know. I don't know, but I can show you something. I bumped into a friend here. We were walking to watch a boxing fight on the TV. And I bumped into this friend. He said, hey, Andrew, where are you going? I told him, he said, I'm going there too to watch this fight. It was in a bar and we were going to watch this fight. He said to me, have you ever tried cocaine? I said, no. He said, would you like to? I said, why not? Go on. So he put it on my hand. I sniffed it up and it did what it was supposed to do. So let me tell you how quickly It got a grip of me. Hey, Andrew, where you going? I'm going to the bar. Would you like to try cocaine? Yes, why not? I did it there. I sniffed it up. By time as I got to here, I asked him for the drug dealer's phone number. And I called that number for almost every day for 9 years. Everything went down the pan. So I moved. My life was a mess. Eventually, I moved into a discipleship center. I didn't know it was a Christian discipleship center. I knew they were all crazy and believed in God. But I didn't know there was such thing as, like, you know, he was real. You know, oh boy, I met him. Oh, he changed me. So my life spiraled out of control. An absolute mess. I owed drug dealers money all around Liverpool. I actually found it quite fun playing cat and mouse. It was just, I don't know. I would not pay him and run from him and not pay him and play him off him and him off him. Oh, I enjoyed it until they got hold of me. My life was so, so bad. Don't worry, guys. Jesus is coming into the story in a moment. It's like, crikey, we've flown him over here. A miserable. We're going to get into the good news in a moment. Jesus set me free. And he's in the business of setting people free right now. Don't give up on your family members. Don't give up on yourself. He's enough. He's patient, long-suffering, desiring none of us should perish. So, I move into a discipleship center on January the 18th, 2010. Cocaine addict, alcoholic, self-harmer, suicidal, manically depressed, full of scars, wanting to die. Assisting myself to, almost. So I go in there, there's 8 other men. The house only holds 9 people. It's 2 houses connected to one another. 9 bedrooms. And I move in, and I'm about to have my first Bible study. I didn't even own a Bible. I mean, why would I? It's interesting. I live in the country called the United Kingdom. One day. I live in Britain. Just before that, it says, great, one day. I think they're both prophetic over our nation. So I move in this discipleship center, never been to church, never heard the gospel, didn't know the tomb was empty, never read the Bible. On the 18th of January, 2010. January the 21st, 2010. I was about to have my first Bible study. So I'm sitting in a room with 8 other men. Now, we're in rehab. Okay, so we don't typically go, well, I've got X amount of millions in the bank, a couple of Arabian black horses, 16 Range Rovers, a plane, so on and so forth, 2 children, 9 dogs, everything's going great. I know I'm going to check myself into rehab. Doesn't work like that. They're in there because their life's a mess, right? But Pastor Meredith, when I looked at them, I knew they'd had similar or the same background and life as me, but they didn't look like they had. They looked new. They looked new. They didn't look stressed out. They didn't look browbeaten. They looked fresh. I didn't know what it was, more importantly, who it was. So I'm sitting there about to have my first Bible study. And the manager of the discipleship center, Ian Aiken. Robbie knows him well. He walks into the dining room. Our chapel was the dining room. So I'm sitting there and the 8 other men are there. And we're about to have our Bible study. I didn't even have a Bible in front of me. They were going to come in, give me the Bible. The other 8 men had their Bibles open because it was a continuation of a study. And I'm sitting there, and if anyone knows me, I like time. I'm quite punctual. And I'm looking at 9:15 a.m. Bible study is about to start. And I'm thinking, what's going on? All of a sudden, it was like the door got kicked in. Ian Aiken bounced in. He said, someone in here wants to give their life to Jesus now. And I jumped up. I said, it's me. It's me. I want to give my life to Jesus now. I said, Jesus, if he wasn't offended. Huge question mark. Very small Jesus. I said, Jesus, if you are real, save me. And I felt the hands of God touch me. I felt 9 years of addictions be purged out of me instantly. He baptized me in fire and in the Holy Ghost, and out of my mouth came this heavenly language. 9:15 a.m., cocaine addict, alcoholic, self-harmer, suicidal, not wanting to live. 9:16 a.m., brought into the right mind, filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. Amen. Come on. Reconcile back to a loving father. And you would think that was great, but I was stood in this room going, Kiaradaba, Sandaradaba. I'm like, what's going on? Like out of the fire, into the frying pan, right? Or out the frying pan, into the fire, whatever you call it. I'm like, Kiaradaba, Sandaradaba, Sorodaba, and it just kept coming out. The very first person I ever heard praying in tongues was me. Can you imagine? My sister, it just came out. I felt the torment leave me. I went in that room, Pastor Meredith, I went in that room wanting to die. I just didn't know I was going to die like that. I came out that room, Pastor Kevin, knowing I was going to live forever with Jesus. And I was over the moon. Over the moon. He removed self-harming from me, alcoholism, cocaine addiction, manic depressive, nightmares, all of these things in 40 seconds. Now, it wasn't a flash of emotion. Like I said, I have 5,113 days to back up the encounter. I'm a free man. And he set me free. The reason why I say this passage is like mine. When I was an alcoholic, I would stand, say, on the streets. Bearing in mind, I was used to earn $15,000 a month. Now I'm on the streets with an empty cup. Filthy. Guys, this is not, I'm just trying to put a picture in your mind. It's not us and them. But do you know the people who are just homeless and they have that look, their nails along, they're filthy, their eyes, I was him. And there was a time I was on the streets with an empty cup. Pastor Vanessa, I would say, excuse me, sir, do you have some change so I can jump the bus home, the coach home? And they say, yeah, no problem. My cup was getting full. Full cup. No withdrawals. Empty cup. Withdrawals. My life wasn't changing. Full cup. Cocaine addict. Empty cup. A withdrawing cocaine addict. Full cup. Alcoholic. Empty cup. Withdrawing alcoholic. My life never changed. Just like this lame man, Peter and John said, hey, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. It says they helped him. taking him. Now, faith has a sound. It's received. Faith comes by hearing of the word of. So faith has a sound. It also has action. Faith without corresponding action is no faith at all. So Peter and John say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There it is. There's the spoken word. Now where's the word in action? Taking him. Helping him up. It says the man's feet. I'm convinced he had better boots on than this, but hey ho, it's the best I've got. Okay. The man's feet and ankles became strong. It says he took off running into the temple gates, jumping, shouting, and praising the Lord. And it says the people who seen him recognized him as the same man who used to be lame. What I found interesting is this miracle took place on the way to the place of worship, not in the sanctuary. How many of us are only expecting God to move in here? I was set free in a dining room in a place called Witness. Trust me, it couldn't get any less glamorous. But it's the best place on earth. It's where I met him. My second best place is when Jen said, I do. Jesus. Touch this man in the mighty name of Jesus. They reached out and they helped him. Guys, we need to put action behind the words we speak. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. I can't stand up. Okay, I'll help you. Stand up. And he says it took off running, jumping, shouting. Well, it's kind of what happened to me. As they said, Peter and John said, silver and gold we do not have, but what I do have, I give on to you. You see, because these guys know that what just happened to them a page before, a chapter before in Acts 2, what happened to them was so brilliant, so powerful, and so pure that they couldn't dilute that encounter down to humanitarian aid. We cannot and we should not. Now, let me just back up. When the disciples said, well, what did we do unto you for you? And Jesus said, when you fed the hungry and you clothed the naked. I am all for feeding the hungry. It's unto Jesus. I'm all for it. Do it more, as much as you can. Stretch yourself. Do as much as you can. But I want to ask you a question. Just how many sandwiches and cups of coffee does it take for man or woman to enter into the kingdom of heaven? How many? We cannot reduce this down to humanitarian aid. We cannot reduce the kingdom of God down to the blessing, because the blessing can never outgive the blesser. We have to bring the blesser into the situation, Jesus. Peter and John didn't give him the blessing. They gave him the blesser. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. They gave him the blesser. The blessing would have kept them in the same place. Too many of us are wondering why we haven't got the blessings we're asking for. Because God's saying, because if I give you it, you'll put your life on pause and enjoy it for the next 20 years. He's saying, come after me, the blesser. I am the blessing. You know that passage where Peter casts his net on the other side of the boat. It says he catches so many fish that the nets begin to break and the boats begin to sink. And he has to call on Zebedee's sons, James and John, and they come over and help him. It goes on to say he pulled it to the shore and left everything. Enamored by the king, enamored by the blesser, and not overwhelmed by the blessing. He steps over the biggest catch of fish, says, I'm following the blesser. The blessing's great, but oh, he is greater. Come on. I'm in a rehab. January 2010. Ian Aiken. I catch up with Ian 3 or 4 times a year. And literally, before I can sit down, Robbie knows him well. Robbie will know this is just Ian's character. Of course, my wife knows him well too. Before I can even pull my seat in, he says, tell me, what's the Lord doing in your life? He led me to Jesus. He's so interesting. So, as Peter and John said, silver and gold I do not have. What I give unto you, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Well, what I heard exactly 14 years ago today was Ian Aiken, Pastor Vanessa. He barged in. Oh, he wasn't backward in coming forward. He barged in. Someone in here wants to give their life to Jesus now. That's what I heard. That is what I heard. My sister, that's what I heard. Someone in here wants to give their life to Jesus now. I know I heard it. I know. But I'm starting to think, did I? Did I hear that? That's what my carnal ears heard. Ian Aiken, someone in here wants to give their life to Jesus now. Now that I've matured ever so slightly in the Lord, I'm beginning to question it, Robbie. I'm beginning to question, did I hear that? I know Pastor Vanessa, my carnal ears heard it. But I'm beginning to wonder, did I hear, Andrew, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give unto you. Someone in here wants to give their life to Jesus. And he took me and he helped me to my King. And I took off running, jumping, shouting and praising the Lord. People who knew me, they recognized me as the cocaine addict, the alcoholic, the conniver, the manipulator. But they see someone different now. He set me free. And my life has never been the same. Why do I share this? Well, I think there's no better message for me to preach on my 14th birthday. I actually wanted to preach something else, but my wife wouldn't let me. Guys, listen. Prophecy is an overflow of hearing and seeing. Sharing your faith is an overflow of being found. None of you. I don't want to step into false humility here, but none of you are absolutely desperate to hear me. But that world is desperate to hear any one of you. Let's get out there in the mighty name of Jesus. And let's put some action. Let's put some action to what we believe. Because for 33 years, I quite like the fact that I gave my life to Jesus when I was 33. And I quite like the fact that it was on the third day of being in the rehab. And I quite like the fact that I was in there for 9 months. 9 months represents a birth. On the third day, well, we kind of know great things happen then, right? And I was 33. Guys, Ian Aiken isn't the most prolific communicator you'll come across. He's actually very, very quiet. He's an imposing guy. He's a big guy. He simply trusted the same truth that set him free. Do we have free people in here? Do we have free people? Hey, listen to me. You know you, and he set you free. How on earth can we presume he wouldn't set someone else free? He set you free. I mean, I know me. Crikey, do I know me. I live with me. And yeah, he set me free. Guys, listen. Speak the truth and put action behind it. Pastor Kevin, can you come up? Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. I'm going to take your community for Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you guys.